The third chapter of St. John, as I mentioned, is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of us have committed it to memory because we've heard it or read it so many times over the years. It's one of the most familiar passages of all of Scripture. Its clear meaning is really the synopsis of the entire Bible, and that is the love of God. The message is one, if not the first, childhood songs that are taught to children in Sunday school and churches all over the world. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And verse 16 is a part of the explanation that Jesus gave to Nicodemus when he said to him earlier in that same chapter, "Truly, truly," or "Surely, surely, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's verse 3. And in verse 7, Jesus emphasized it when he repeated it, but said it a little bit differently when he said, "You must be born again," or "born from above." A preeminent death. The message of God's love, as Jesus explains it, is to be seen in the preeminent death of God's Son, the most unique death the world has ever seen. Because it's a preview of the future of every person who believes in Jesus. Spiritually speaking, regeneration is the dying to ourselves. When we, quote unquote, put to death our own strong, selfish wills for the sake of God's will for our lives. And in that personal transformation, it's possible for us to be transformed into a new person in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's what baptism symbolizes in the Christian faith. It's a personal spiritual death and a personal spiritual resurrection to a new, changed, regenerated life. A spiritual regeneration, resurrection, I should say. Secondly, in a very practical way, the death of Jesus is the asking price by God for the sin of the world. A sacrifice acceptable to God. Without sin, without blemish. In this asking price by God for the sin of the world, making it a certainty that those who die in the Lord, that is, those who have been born of Christ, or die believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as we have heard that Royce has, do not die a hopeless death. Because the death of Jesus not only paid the ransom price for sin, but in effect it loosened death and Satan's firm grip on the believer so that sin and Satan no longer have control over us in this present life, neither in the life to come. Through Jesus, in other words, we can experience God's eternal forgiveness and be freed from a future separate from God. Jesus says that those are in his hands, that no one can separate us from the love of God, according to St. Paul. Jesus said, "Neither can anyone take you out of my hand." But in accomplishing an avenue to forgiveness, we should also realize that God the Father himself experiences walking through the pain of death, the death of his only Son, Jesus Christ. It's this experience that God identifies with you and me and all of humanity. All who know the experience, the painful experience of seeing loved ones who've gone on from this life to eternity. God also has experienced that kind of loss. I should say, in the death of Jesus, it made it even more painful that while on the cross, God in his holiness could not look upon sin which is what Jesus actually became. He became sin for us. So it's on that cross that Jesus experienced separation from God as became our sin bearer. That's why he uttered those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And give me a second to say something about a glorious resurrection. The Bible makes it very clear that after the death of Jesus, the Christ, he was raised from the dead by the power of God the Father. Yes, by his resurrection, all who believe in him as the resurrected Savior no longer have to fear death or the grave. In being raised from the dead, Jesus changed the grave into a dressing room, so that all who now die in Jesus, that is, believe in Jesus as the resurrected Lord, will have their bodies, our bodies, changed from mortal to immortal bodies, and from defiled and diseased and weak bodies into glorious bodies, retrofit for a perfect future in the new heavens and new earth. And it is through the resurrection of Jesus that we who believe in him have the promise of a new life to come in a resurrected and glorified body at Jesus' second coming. Death is not to be feared by a Christian. The grave is not to be feared by a Christian. But it is a brief corridor, an opportunity to change from these mortal bodies into immortal bodies. Bodies that the believer will occupy for all of eternity. It's in this promise and experience we see the true depth, the true height, and the width of the love of God. Listen to this, that in death, it does not separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing, Paul said, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not even the grave. This is both present and future hope of those who believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It serves as a reminder for all of us who believe in Jesus that that is our destiny also, not only the grave, but certainly the resurrection to new and eternal life. My question in closing is to simply ask you if you have this hope. Is this your future? That your life and legacy doesn't remain in a grave, but when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for all those who have trusted in him, who will experience a new resurrected body and will return with the Lord forever. If your answer to my question is yes, then praise God. If not, my third question would be, do you want this hope? It's available for the asking. A hope where evil and sin no longer exist. A hope in a future where sickness and pain and hospitals and death of this body will be done away with, and trouble is no longer a word in the dictionary. Where we shall drink from crystal streams, and lions will lay down with lambs, and weapons of war will be retired, where the lunar sun will retire because two suns, one spelled S-U-N and the other S-O-N, two suns can't shine on that day, for Jesus Christ is the light of that city. If you have that hope, praise God for the eternal hope in Jesus. If you do not, you can have it. If Jesus is knocking on your heart's door, answer Let him in that he too will give you the same hope that all those who believe in Jesus have and will experience. Let's pray.